We are continuing our series on the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible. And we're talking about the current attribute, characteristic of God, and that is His sovereignty. The sovereignty of God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So let's go back to our foundation text. And that would be 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. And it reads, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ, in the presence of Christ, who made the good confession before Pontius Pilate, to keep all his precepts without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which appearing, he, God the Father, will bring about in his own time. He, talking about God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a blessed and only potentate, King James says, sovereign, which means the only absolute ruler, the only sovereign. And that makes him the king of those who reign as kings, Lord of lords, the Lord of those who reign or rule as lords. He alone, by himself, possesses immortality and lives in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power and dominion, so be it, or amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Once again, just by way of review, the word sovereignty comes from the word dunastes, which is cousin to the word dunamis. That means to be able, to have ability, to have power. Sovereign means that God is the one who reigns. He's the sole controller. He alone is independent, autonomous, and possesses by himself unilateral authority. He makes no decision except within himself. He doesn't need the agreement of another person or other people. He has complete dominion, rule, power, and authority. Complete. When we say God is sovereign, we're saying that He is subject to no one, influenced by no one. That ought to make us feel good, because every human being we know can be influenced by someone else or something else. Every human being that we know. Thank God. And when we go to God in prayer about a matter, about a situation, we have absolute confidence that God cannot be influenced by anyone or anything.
Amen.
That's something I think we take for granted. But when we go and talk to people, we talk to a boss, we talk to a manager, you know, we're going to try to influence them and hope that my influence is stronger than anybody else's influence that will cause me not to get what I want. But with God, He's influenced by no one. He's moved by no one. He is the independent, self-governing, self-determining ruler that has all authority and all power in his hands. The devil ain't got none of that, contrary to what other folks accidentally are saying. God being sovereign means God does as he pleases, only as he pleases, always as he pleases. That's good news. There is no one, that can thwart his purpose. No one can stop his hand. Realize that because he is sovereign, he is working all things together for good. Like I said, the only way you can ever make that statement, that guarantee, is because you are sovereign. We went over three things. We went over this years ago. Chance, coincidence, and luck. Chance, definition, the absence of any cause of events that can be predicted, understood, or controlled. Well, we know that's not true because God, there's a cause always. But chance, the lie called chance, when it just by chance this happened or so forth, it's absent of any cause of events. The unknown and unpredictable element in happenings that seems to have no assignable cause. I like that, that they put that seems to have no assignable cause. That's all under chance. Coincidence is an occurrence of events that happen at the same time by total accident or by chance. And again, that's what appears to be. We use that word, but we understand that we just use it out of habit because we're so used to using it. But we understand what's really going on behind that. Coincidence, again, is an occurrence of events that happen at the same time by what appears to be total accident or by chance. Luck, the force, in quotes, that seems to operate for good or ill in a person's life, as in shaping circumstances, events, or opportunities. Another definition, a combination of circumstances, events, etc., operating by chance to bring good or ill to a person. And of course, you go back to chance, meaning the absence of any assignable cause. In reality, all of that is very different from the sovereignty of God. You've heard this before, there is no such a thing in reality as chance, as in coincidence and luck. Those three words are used to replace God and his sovereignty. And we as Christians have fallen into it because it's so heavily out there. We have to kind of correct ourselves. Very different from the sovereignty of God. Things are just happening, happen just haphazardly and happening, and oh, you know, when they happen at the same time. Wow, look at that. No rhyme, no reason. That's what those words also, no, there's an absence of some sort of ordered plan. An absence of an ordered plan. Since God is sovereign, there's nothing out of order in that sense. I have here in my notes, the sovereignty of God is God purposefully taking all/every action, all/every event, and all/every contingency and works through them to bring about his predetermined end. I'm gonna say that again. Sovereignty of God is God on purpose taking every action, event, and contingency. All of them. Contingency is possibilities, likelihoods, incidents, seen and unforeseen. Like when you throw a die, you cast a die, some dice, you know, it can land, you know, if there's both of them have 1 through 6 on them, it can be all kind of possibilities that combination could. God knows every single one. You come to a fork in the road, or maybe a 3 forks in the road, you go either way, God knows. He knows every likelihood, possibility, incident, seen and unforeseen. He knows it. He takes it all, every last one of them, and works through them, the good, the bad, the evil, the wicked, and the ugly. He works through it all to bring about his predetermined in eternity past end. That's a mighty God. He takes funerals, deaths, sex slavery, abortions, works through it all. Handicap, dementia, old age, infanticide, homicide, homosexuality, fake preachers, false prophets, works through it all. We can't even begin to understand that. We can't even, that's mind blowing. Like how in the world you get a your predetermined end out of a 9-year old in sex slavery? How in the world? We have no idea. That's why I don't try to understand God. He said, my ways and my thoughts are far above, high above. They are hundreds of billions of miles apart. And we don't have a clue. Just understand the little bit of depth he gives us in his word. I'm your father. I saved you. That's still mind-blowing. You shed your blood for me. Wait a minute. I'm the slave. You're the master. The master died for the slave. That's mind-blowing. We can't even get that, really. What master would die for the slave? He took the beating. The slave won't be getting beat. The master took the beating for the slave. What kind of crazy is that? You know what, Lord God Almighty? Help us just understand your salvation. You would live a more righteous life just understanding salvation. You would treat people better. Because you know, and I know, and we know, we wasn't all that. We was terrible. Yes, sir. And yet and still. He shed his blood for terrible people. We were enemies of the cross of Christ. We hated God. Just understanding, just salvation will make you live a more holy life. Father, help us to get that. He works through everything. Everything. Hey, you know it's true because he saw it all before it ever got started in eternity past. He saw it all. His hand is in everything. I'm not saying, when I say his hand is in everything, let me explain that. I may have heard it before. His hand is everything. Either it's in it. What's the opposite of passive? Aggressive, I guess. Where he's actively doing it. There you go. Actively causing things to happen. Or passively allowing things to happen. Now, my father fasted too. We say fast too long. He fasted too close. He had too many fasts that were too close. And we just theorized, we don't know, that my dad was trying to get to the 40 days and 40 night fast, we believe. And dad didn't realize that was supernatural. When he empowered Jesus to do that. That was supernatural. That was the super on top of Jesus' natural enabling him to get to that point. And my dad was trying to do it in his own strength. And so he was working his way up to that. He would fast 6 days, 7 days. That's a lot of days. You read up on what happened when you don't have water and things like this. He had fast earlier that year in 68. Then he was going. Then he did it again in June of 68. The other was in the spring of 68. Probably about seven days. Then your body got to heal from all that. And so it didn't, as I understand it, there was enough time for all that body to heal, and he was doing it again. And this one was even longer. This might have been 8 or 9 days, even longer. He came out the fast. Because when you come out of fast, they recommended you do orange juice to prepare the stomach lining for solid food. And as mother's custom was to do the orange juice, so you could just smell orange juice, freshly squeezed orange juice, you smell it all through the house. And so dad was drinking orange juice, slowly coming back this way. And so we didn't think anything of it. You know, we left the house that Thursday, July 11th. Jeff was our Bible class night. We had Bible class twice a week, Tuesday, our house Thursday down in Detroit. And we went on down. Dad stayed back home because he was still a little weak, but coherent, everything. Man came back home, my dad had died. Looking straight up to the heavens. He was sitting in a chair in his bedroom, looking straight to the heavens. The cause of death is malnutrition. Was the cause of death on the thing there. When I tell you that you need to be taught and you got to get right teaching and be careful who else you listen to, this is one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about that. Because my dad's pastor told him, like, just be careful where you go and hear and listen. And I can't say for sure, but I believe my dad, he was visiting other churches, and I believe he heard something, and didn't process it right, didn't go to the shepherd. Remember, Hebrews 13 says, we watch for your souls. When you hear something you're not sure about it, you're supposed to bring it to your quote-unquote spiritual father, your shepherd, one who's watching out for you. It's what the doggone word bishop mean. Don't mean no doggone title of nine churches and you a big guy. No, it means to watch out, watch over the people. The Greek word for bishop is episkopos. Scope, the word scope, watch over, AP, to do it in a thorough way. That's our job. Part of the assignment. So we take that very seriously. And so my dad did not. He's a prideful man, just like I was, like men tend to be. And it cost him his life. I went through all of that. It's a tragic story in a sense. Five children, now without a father. I'm 9. My oldest is 12. The youngest is 4. And a widow, now dealing with, at 37 years old, dealing with 5 children. God used even that. Do you understand what I'm saying? He uses everything. He uses everything. Mama's death, Monique's death, John John's death, that's Miss Linda's son, is he uses everything. Yeah. Trust him, trust him, trust him, trust him. Please. You can cry out. Cry. Do what you got to do. You're human. You're going to have your effect. I cried. I was sad my dad was gone. I was super sad. That's all right. We're human. But understand, he is sovereign. Don't go to thinking everything is out of control. Oh, man. Don't go to thinking like that. Thank God we had a church that teaches the word of God and works to teach it accurately. So that we have hope. We won't sorrow as though we have no hope. You can sorrow, but you won't be hopeless in your sorrow. Does that make sense? Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And Paw and Rolanda concerning Mama, myself, my mother, and Judy concerning my dad, the Horton family concerning Monique, Glenda and Chris concerning John John, and on, April and her father, all of them, we all can tell you, the Lord does heal.
Amen.
He heals. He restores. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! You better know it. Go ahead and cry. Joe broke down. It's all right. But know that God is a healer. Know that he is a restorer. And know that he's working something out for his good in eternity and for our good in time. When I say he uses everything, this means he uses everything. You can testify yourself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, throw us.
That's okay, be thrown. But you realize you're gonna be thrown the rest of your life till you get to heaven. It's okay. But lock in and know that He is God. For the Lord, what?
He is.
Say it again.
He is God.
That's what He is. For the Lord, He is God. And that God is sovereign. He's using everything. He ain't forgot about you. He will never forsake you. He hasn't closed His ears to you. Overlooked, unless you're some disobedience. I mean, look, that's a little thing in there. But overall, He ain't forgot about you. We go through things with purpose. There is purpose in suffering. We just talked about that about 2 weeks ago. There is purpose in suffering. There always is. He's working it out. He's working it out. Nothing is by chance. Nothing is by coincidence. Nothing is a surprise to God. That's the thing that I use, y'all, when I'm surprised. 2:30 call, a sudden report, hearing about somebody else not doing well, and I'm thrown sideways and I'm surprised and knocked sideways by it. My first thought the Lord brings to me is, I'm not surprised. And that brings me comfort because I'm thinking, since you're not surprised, since you're not thrown sideways, then you already know what to do. Thank you for showing me what to do. Thank you for showing me how to deal with this. Because you're already locked in. That brings me comfort to not to go too ziggy boom with it. Does that make sense? He's not surprised. He's never surprised. So that helps keep me grounded. Well, my dad ain't surprised. Okay, then what do I do? How do I handle this? He already got the answers. Thank you, Lord. Nothing is by coincidence. Nothing is by chance. Nothing surprises Him. Amen. Nothing is outside of His game plan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's never a, whoa, I ain't see that coming. Not with God. Yeah. I never saw that. Oh, where did that come from? Not with God. Everything is happening all within the framework of His plan. All within the framework. And nothing but going on out here. Over here. It's all within the framework of His plan. I've told this before, but I want to remind you. We said it all through. Just want to remind you again that this doesn't mean that God motivates or causes everything to happen. We just said that. But I want to remind you again. He doesn't cause everything to happen. And in particular, He doesn't cause evil to happen. He doesn't do evil. I always got to hear that. That's the thing that causes a lot of folks to not believe in God because of the presence of evil. And that's the area where Christians, if you're not apologetic, being taught how to defend that, we tend to just fade back and fade away like, man, I don't get it. I don't understand. No, God uses evil, doesn't cause it. He allows it, but doesn't cause it. And the evil that people do, they're doing it on their own will. God is not putting fresh evil and motivations to do evil in the hearts of people. He doesn't do that. James 1:13 says that. He doesn't tempt folk with evil. He don't do evil. Why do you allow evil? Because it somehow is for His own good. It was part of His plan. I would have did it another way. Yeah, but you're not God. And then when you start that down that line of reasoning, then you're gonna start up. But I don't understand that. Yeah, you don't understand. There's something you're just not gonna understand. James lets us know that we see through a mirror glass, darkened, dim, veiled. Yeah. Yes, it's just we just seeing just a tip of it. We don't nowhere near it. But then we will see Him face to face, clearly, when we're glorified. But in this state here, we're not going to get it. That's where faith comes in. I just got to trust Him. He doesn't cause evil. He doesn't do evil. But, however,
when evil things happen, it does not change God's plan. That's the good news. When my father died suddenly, or when mama died suddenly, or when John died or others suddenly, it was sudden death. It didn't suddenly throw God into a tizzy. Oh man, what do I do now? No, that's not God. That garbage, blasphemous, demonic, heretical teaching on this concept of the process, God in process. He's in process. He's always evolving and changing and getting better at being God. You shook your head at me, man. That's a true doctrine that's out there being taught. And they're doing all that to try to make up, to explain the presence of evil. Well, he didn't know it was coming, you know. And so that's why he, you know. No, there's the brothers Karamazov. They were Russian brothers who were philosophers. And they had trouble with the triangle. God is good. He's all powerful. And he's all benevolent, all loving. So you got evil in the world. The brothers Karamazov said he can't be all three, good, powerful, and loving. Because if he's good, since there's evil, he can't be this. It wasn't loving, it was another word. I don't know whatever the third one was, but because it was like, if he's this and this, he can't be this. He don't have the power to stop evil. Or if he's powerful, all-knowing, that's what it is. Yeah, all-knowing. So if he's powerful and all-knowing, then but there's evil, he can't be good. If he's good and powerful, he didn't know. Or if he's knowing and good, he wasn't powerful enough. So they concluded that this God can't be all three. We'll take two of the three, but we won't take all three. So the process theology is kind of the same thing to make an excuse. Oh, by the way, we done dipped into a little seminary teaching. This is called a theodicy. I think that's why. Theodicy. Theos, meaning God. This comes from the word righteous decay. Righteousness. God's righteousness. It's a defense concerning God's righteousness. And you come up with these theories to defend God so that he appears to be just. And you come up with ways like process theology and things of that nature to explain the presence of evil. I just want you to kind of know that. But don't run when people ask you, well, why is there evil in the world? Well, God ordained it. He didn't. He don't use the word ordained because that confuses people. They won't understand that. God allowed it. Because that'll confuse them. Ordained means, what did he do? What he told the ministers? Ordained them to do evil? That worked because a lot of them doing evil. But hold on, brother. We're going down the road. This thing got way out of hand. No, God allowed it. He knew it was going to happen before the foundation of the world. He saw Lucifer becoming Satan. He saw Satan coming down to the garden. He saw him trick Eve. Saw Eve and Adam eat, bring sin into the whole world. Death by sin and all of the ramifications. As I told you, by the time you get to the end of Genesis, now Genesis 3, when the fall happened, by the end of Genesis, Genesis 50, you have just about every sin committed by the end of Genesis. Murder, homosexuality, and when the family go with another family member, incest, prostitution, murder, lying, just everything. You just open the Pandora's box. Well, God knew that here. So when evil happens, it does not change God's plan. It does not deter God. Again, he already knew what's going to happen. Evil does not cause God to alter his purpose. That's amazing. Something happened with us. We gotta change. I can't go now. I gotta quit my job. I gotta move. I gotta get a new house. The roof came off. Gotta go stay in a hotel. I mean, all our plans get changed. Absolutely. That's an incredible thing that when things happen like that with God, it don't change his plan, doesn't alter his purpose. As a matter of fact, he takes it all and fits it into his predetermined plan. That is an amazing God. That's amazing. We came from a funeral just yesterday. A young man died in his sleep, 33 years old. His sister died last year, 39 years old, in her sleep. That mother is gone. Amen. Pray for her, I don't know her name. I pray just remember the mother with lost children, Lord, I know. Father God, we're going to pray for that mother right now. I saw her father. She's in bad shape. I saw my own eyes, bad shape. We need you. Touch her, touch her, touch her. Save her if she's not saved. Heal her in her mind. Touch her and save her soul. That she may come to the knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. God is using even that. Even that. We're going to stop right there. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to finally hit the scriptures. Next week, we're going to finally take a look at the sovereignty of God in scripture. In the meantime, that's enough to just let that marinate right there. Father God, you are sovereign. We're glad that you're sovereign. It is and we're thankful. Amen. We're forever grateful.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. And we now, because we're understanding your sovereignty more and more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, it becomes a pillow upon which we can rest our head at night and go to sleep in peace, knowing we're covered by the blanket of your sovereignty.
Amen.
We thank you, Father God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.